Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to go into a segment in just a moment by Lance Wallow. He was with Kim Clement, the prophetic man, Kim Clement, and he was speaking. And Lance is very good because he's a good teacher. He's with the Lord today, but yesterday he was with Saturday Night Live, actually. He was part of the cast years ago, and he got saved. And
really?
But he has a great ability. Wow. He's obviously very intellectual and has a great ability to explain things, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to be able to talk to you about a brand new book, prophetic book, that just came out by Jonathan Cahn. Now, he's the one that wrote the book on Harbinger.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular book, this, and he's talking about patterns that happens and how in Harbinger, if you read that we're right in line. Everything that's happening is happening. But this particular book, and I believe it's talking about every 7 years, and that's what this particular word means. It's the mystery of Shemitah, something like that, Shemitah. And what he says is that we're coming right into, in the month of September and October, this particular season that these things happen. And he lists them all. And we're going to be able to have, hopefully for you, and probably tomorrow's program or the future program, to be able to have an interview with him, to be able to talk about it. But you got to get this book and read it. Take the time to read it. When you look at when he's talking, he's not mentioning the four blood moons, but It's right in alignment. The biblical scripture is talking about, this patterns every 7 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, every 50 years, there's a Jubilee.
Mm.
And you hear people talk about, that's right, Jubilee. And the thing is that, You either consciously say, and this is when everything rests, you consciously say, we're going to follow God and we're going to have a conscious Jubilee, a time to rest the soil. And if somebody owes you money or you owe them money or by all the debts, relieved and that type of thing. If you're in rebellion to God, Jubilee still happens, but it happens by force.
Hmm.
And so you have the folks talking about like Jubilee, Jubilee. Wait, hold on a minute. Make sure we're walking with God because we don't want it by force. In other words, the money will go to nothing. The economy will go to nothing. The value will go to nothing. And nobody will be able to pay anybody anything because it rests. And you got to get this book. And hopefully this week you'll be able to have watch an interview with him because it'll really encourage you. And but first of all, we want to talk about Lance Wallow. Lance Wallow.
Wallnow
is talking here about, as the time's getting tragic and things are happening, and you hear us say and others say, this is going to be the best days the church has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the mixed gospels. The gospel, according to God's word, that it's good, even though times get bad, that's when the church does its greatest work.
Mm-hmm.
Because God protects those who are his. That's when miracles happen. And he says that I will build my kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail against his kingdom. And the gates are the government. And we've been given authority by God. And you're going to watch him explain this, but understand that you're not supposed to run from trouble. You're supposed to be like David and run to the problem because God's going to use you to be able to save a people, to be able to help someone. And the gates of heaven will veto the plans of the gates of hell.
Mm.
But if we don't even show up, if we think we're supposed to go hide somewhere, then the gates of hell will prevail during our generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great, he writes on a whiteboard, but just watch it. He does a real good job of explaining this. Take a look.
How many of you appreciate the fact that in an atmosphere like this, whether you're watching at home or on your screen or you're here, that the prophetic incubator is a unique experience, that it's unlike other types of environments? There are preaching environments, there are teaching environments, there are evangelism environments. But what is unique about a prophetic incubator or a den like this is that when David met with those that came out to his cave of Adullam, what was on him got on them. That means that the prophetic has the unique capacity to get on other people. So when there were certain prophets prophesying in Israel, that spirit of prophecy came on the whole camp. But here's the interesting thing about the prophetic. It replicates and multiplies what you've got. Yeah. David had only a remnant. He had a small group of people. But the anointing that was on David was enough to take down a giant. And so David's anointing got on the remnant that came out. And out of there, you see suddenly these mighty men. And it's an unusual footnote in Bible history. You don't have any other king or general who had the power of what's called force multiplying, which means the anointing that was on them got on other people that were in proximity to him. So in the last days, we realize that proximity actually is power. The closer you are to God's voice, the more it multiplies the power of God that's in you. The closer you are to the throne of God, the more it multiplies the power of the angelic on your behalf. So getting into that incubator or getting into that zone where God's presence is the secret to a remnant overcoming odds that are greater in size and scope than they represent. What's curious about that is that there's only one description of the church in the last days that the apostles got. And they had a major meeting about this because it was a controversy to the Jews having Gentiles suddenly coming into the kingdom. And when they got together, the Spirit of the Lord revealed that Gentiles were part of God's plan for Israel, that they were engrafted in, that the same anointing that was in Abraham, that was in Isaac, that was in Jacob, that was in David, that was in Joshua, would be multiplied on those who were in proximity to Yeshua or to Jesus. And here's the nature of the church. They're looking for, well, what's the typology for this? And you know the type that they came up with is called the Tabernacle of David. Now, why is that interesting? Because the Tabernacle of David, that was the structure that they saw as the type of end-time church, is literally the incubator or the den in which the people of God come into the presence of God in throne room worship, where they access God's voice prophetically, and God releases strategies from the throne room to the people so that they can go out and take territory from the enemy. When David was in the presence of God here in the tabernacle, he had bypassed all of the institutional resistance, the maze of religious structure that separated people from the exalted platform where the speaker speaks and their access to God in heaven. And what David did was he knocked down all the intermediary steps, set up the throne of God, the ark of God, the presence of God, surrounded it with prophetic musicians, and said, come to the throne right here. And when you're in proximity to this space, worship, prophetic access to God's presence, God's power and strategy comes right on you and takes a remnant and multiplies in that tabernacle of David an army that is strong enough to dispossess giant strongholds all around the earth. The type of church that is the end time church is the Tabernacle of David. You read it, and this was, you know, it's interesting, as this was taught, oh, probably like 20 years ago. And there was a whole lot of excitement as worship was beginning to come to the forefront and prophetic was beginning to get restored to the church. Suddenly there was a buzz about the tabernacle, but most people move on from a revelation and don't retain it. They don't keep it. They go to the next thing and then the next thing. And then, have you ever noticed that? Then suddenly you're getting reminded again about faith or about grace. Well, you walk away from this until these days, when God begins to put them all together and we have to practice all the things we've ever learned, because this is the hour when the tabernacle of David or the remnant of God is coming out and the house of God is being established in cities and in communities all over the earth. Now that means that there could be a building or a structure that actually is a house of God. Or it could mean that that the house of God is going to be a gathering in a tent. The interesting thing about a tent, or the interesting thing about that metaphor, is it's mobile. You can erect this structure anywhere two or more gather together and want to go into the presence of God. You can create the dynamic of the cave or the dynamic of a gathering. Now, here's what I really felt the Lord was putting on my heart for today, and I'm so happy that Kim is prophesying this. There's something about the house God wants to build that is in the church right now. You know, the word for church that Jesus used was the word ecclesia. Interesting word. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus, in his day, even speaking Aramaic to the crowd, he didn't reach into Hebrew or into church culture in the synagogue like a good Jewish rabbi. He went outside of Israel and reached into a Greek term that refers to something much different than a temple or a synagogue. He said, I will build my ecclesia. And the word ecclesia refers to the leaders that meet at the gate of a city in order to determine what goes on in the city. So in the Greek culture, when it was time for Sparta or for Athens or Corinth to make a decision regarding whether they as a city were going to engage in warfare, they would have the elders or these leaders meet at the gate, and at the gate of the city they would have a discussion, because the gate was where commerce came, the gates were where the armies went out, and so the gates become a metaphor for the place where decision making takes place that it shapes a community. Jesus said, I will build my designated representative ambassadorship at the gates. Now here's the curious thing. Where are the gates? I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Where the church is supposed to be located is not a safe distance from hell. The church is supposed to be located as a governing body at the very gates of hell. So I will build my representative government right where hell is located. So now the church, the tabernacle of David, catch this crazy idea. The tabernacle of David, or the worshiping community of the remnant, are supposed to be targeting and aiming where hell has its gates located. I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. So when we worship, we are literally going up into an atmosphere where music and song is invading the conversation. And you saw it here. You could hear in the music. It's almost like going to a 3D movie when I go to Kim's meetings. It's like I close my eyes. It's like a soundtrack to a motion picture, because we're there where the councils of hell are saying everything's working. Whoa, 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 what's that? What's that? There's that light. There's that rebellious remnant. It's that remnant. See, I'm hearing the Lord say there's a group that is resisting conformity to hell's plan for nations. And as we align ourselves, we become the government that vetoes the government of hell. So, if proximity is power, then we need to be believing God that he is going to raise up believers who are going to continue to ascend in all kinds of mischievous locations. In politics, in government, in media, in arts, in fashion, on college campuses, in among professorships. We should be believing God that if we don't have an ecclesia located where the gates of hell are located, he's going to promote several very quickly to show up there. But faith comes by hearing. If you never hear it, then these wild thoughts that come into your head, like that segment earlier where I was talking about how Kim would see Bill Murray's face. We were talking in an earlier part of that broadcast. How he started getting visions, and he'd see, almost like Garfield the cat. He'd see animated objects, and then he wouldn't tell people what he was seeing. He would just give the word of knowledge. And then we started asking him, how do you see this? How do you hear that? And he would say, well, God speaks in different ways. I sometimes get cartoons, or I get Bill Murray. And I'm thinking, well, that gives permission for all of us to be a little crazy. So I'll give you one more thought that I think is important. Proximity is power. The tabernacle of David means that on this broadcast, we can be gathering together a remnant of people, gather around moments like this, and literally create an ecclesia that enters into that force-multiplying prophetic anointing, so that when we walk out, our spirits are tuned and we're walking out with an ability to be much larger than our actual size. Because that's what force-multiplying does. Now, here's what I'm beginning to think the Lord wants to do. You see, here's the glasses. It's almost like God's got to give us a set of spiritual, three-dimensional lenses to see world events as they get traumatizing and find them stimulating. Now think about this. You've got only two ways you can respond to bad news. One is to hope it doesn't affect you. Right? You can escape it, be protected from it. But I just got done describing the church as a militant force that actually moves towards the battle. Going where the gates are located. Knowing that as we show up, God shows off and things change. So the other alternative has to be that there is a way of seeing the end times that actually empowers you to become an overcomer. While the news is worse, you're actually feeling better. Now, there's only one way that can happen, and that is if you have an accurate assessment of what God is doing in the midst of the shaking. So now let's take this for a second and look at this. And it shall come to pass, clearly the Lord says, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. Notice the word heavens. Most people miss these little details. They reveal everything. The heavens means that there's more than one. So we have third heaven. The Apostle Paul goes to third heaven. And third heaven is one of the heavens. The difference between third heaven and the other heavens is that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This heaven don't shake. Because when God speaks, everything is aligned with his will, so nothing has to move. The furniture doesn't have to move. It all stays right there because it's where it's supposed to be. The shaking is designed to shake everything that is out of alignment with God's voice. So where are the other heavens? Well, if the Apostle Paul was caught up into third heaven, it makes sense that there probably are two other heavens, at least a two and a one. So what we have here is we have this second heaven. Aha! Now, second heaven would be the place where spiritual wickedness is. Remember Paul said that he's in warfare, but there's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places? So evidently, second heaven is subject to shaking. Third heaven doesn't shake. Second heaven shakes. What's in second heaven? We'll put pitchforks here. All the powers behind the mischief in planet Earth are being shaken. Now watch this. There is an Earth atmosphere right around the Earth. And that's the first heavens the Bible talks about. It's this atmosphere here. What is happening during shaking? This is exciting. Blue color. Heaven is actually invading Earth. Most people miss this. Jesus said when the shaking starts, when it begins, what does he say? Look up. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven draws nigh. Meaning, heaven is coming to a theater near you. So when you look at the shaking, you have to realize that all the Putins and Rasputins and all the badness that is hooked up to hell is going to be shaken here. But look at this. Isaiah says something fascinating. Isaiah says, darkness may cover the earth. Gross darkness may cover the people. But upon you, my light shall shine. So there you go. That's how you can look at intensifying world events.
It is amazing how quickly Lance explains these times. And you've been hearing us talk about some intensity. It's the best of times and the worst of times. That explains it on a whiteboard description.
That's powerful.
What is it going to look like? That's what it's going to look like. We shouldn't run. It's time for us to run out like David and be what God's called us to be. Lance Wallnew just nailed it in just a very short period of time. I encourage you to go back and watch that again and again to understand. This is the day that we're called for. Is it not encouraging to watch that, John?
It is, because you realize that, you know, greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. You don't have to be terrified. Listen, God is calling us right now as a church to go to the gates of hell and rescue those that are being slaughtered, that are going there.
Right.
And there's, you know, terrible times that are coming, but God's covering, God's hand is upon those that are with him. There's nothing to fear when you walk with God, because God has you.
Yeah, he's talking about, you know, the end time church is the one that's going to bring all these revelations together, and we can't leave them behind. We have to be able to know them. And one good example is the Good Samaritan. When you look at the Good Samaritan, when Jesus explains to us how we're supposed to be, that's somebody who went and confronted the gates of hell. You had somebody, the religious folks, you know, when they were coming by and they saw the man that was robbed and beat up on the side of the road, they said, you know, basically, what's going to happen to us if we help him?
Mm-hmm.
And if we have that mindset in regards to us needing to confront the gates of hell, we have a religious spirit. We don't understand why we're actually here. But the Good Samaritan, this is what Jesus is telling us to be a Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan said, what will happen to him if I don't help him?
Mm.
And so when we're understanding that God loves mankind, and so he wants us to go and speak to them. And one thing that we find out is that as intensity increases, the harvest increases. People come. It just shakes people loose from all these strongholds. When you see heaven coming down, as Lance was talking about, it's shaking Ephesians 6:12, you know, the powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness. And what is when they're being shaken, those that are held captive by second heaven, they're also being shaken. But what happens quite often is they get shaken loose.
Hmm.
They get shaken loose and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what, how are they going to know unless you go? I mean, how are they going to know unless someone is sent? And how are they going to hear unless you tell them, is what he says in John chapter, I believe, 3. And so we have to go tell folks, you know, about, I believe it's Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 9, 10, 11, all. But we have to actually go and tell folks. And you have to understand that greater is he, the kingdom of God that's in you, than he that's in the world. Now, what protects you is your belief in what I just said. Not, hey, that's what so-and-so said. Let me go out here like the sons of Sceva. Next thing you know, you're running, you know, for your life because you were talking in the name of someone else's God that they believed in that you don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your faith, which is confidence and surety and certainty in God and eternity with Jesus Christ forever, that we're willing to go out and be confronting the gates of hell, the government of hell. And so we can say, in contradiction to what people say, you know, that America's no longer a Christian nation when our president said that. Well, that's, you know, we can either buy into that or we can say America was founded on Christian principles. God is the one that uplifts a nation or takes a nation down. We can turn back to the original intent of our nation and we can proclaim, because we are speaking of the government of God in the name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom was within us, and we can confront the gates of hell and we can thwart. This is, I love what he said. He said that the government of heaven will veto the government of hell. I mean, that's what we do. A veto is like, okay, everything passed. Everything's going forward. People are buying into the narrative. It's going that way. And since we have the kingdom of heaven within us, we just take a stamp and go, boom, veto that. Yeah. I'm not going to accept that lie.
Yeah.
And God's just looking for someone that believes, right?
Yeah. I love what he says about the ecclesia, where the church is supposed to be right there at the gates where all the decision is being made. It's a place where the leaders come and are doing it, if you will, not hidden some way, you know, off the beaten path or isolationist, but right there where life intersects and transacts. And that's where we need to be. We need to be in the front lines, interacting with people, sharing the gospel, no matter what it looks like in the earthly realm. Because, listen, this is where light belongs in darkness. We're not supposed to run from darkness.
Yeah, you think about it. It's like, how are you going to win the war if you don't get in the war?
Hello?
And how are you going to, in this place, I love the way he describes that the end time church will be like the tabernacle of Moses. It's not about a building, but David, it could be. But it's about a gathering where you're coming together and heaven's going to download into your spirit what you need to know, what you need to say at that particular time. And that's the end time church, but it's mobile.
Mm.
You know, we have to be careful. I mean, think about it today. I mean, think about today in contradiction to today versus what it was when walking with Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me. Today, in America, many people will say, well, I will support you, but I'm not going to follow you because I have a mortgage.
Right.
I have a home. I have a job. I mean, that's what America, we would act, that's actually the American gospel. And so many people are building their kingdoms based off your revenue from your job. They're not going to tell you that that's wrong.
Mm.
But the whole thing is Jesus said, get thee up and go. You got to go. You got to follow him. The cost is everything. And so when he's calling us out to be able to move in this day, as you're seeing things crank up, you're seeing things shaking. I mean, how accurately that explains what's happening today. It's like every demon in hell is coming out and doing the most evil atrocity on, and they're videoing it and they're sending it around no, it's like, it's, those are total demons grabbing a hold of these folks. And if you don't understand that, you know, Jesus talks about it when he talks about, maybe it's Matthew 8, I don't know what scripture, particular verses on top of my head, but he talks about that when a demon comes out of a man, he goes around looking for another place to be. And then he finds, he can't find a place. So then he comes back to the man and he finds the man still vacant. And he comes in and he finds seven demons worse than himself, or seven spirits worse than himself. So he won't be thrown out again. So the man went from one demonic stronghold demon to eight. And so that's, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. This really helps out, because when you see folks coming, doing these evil things, you can say, you know what? If they just know about Jesus, if I tell them about the Lord, if I go right to the gates of hell and say, let me tell you something, I'm going to pray tonight that God would give you a dream and he would reveal his son to you tonight. Even though you're radical, even though you got a wrong, twisted perception of who Jesus is, I believe he'll visit you like he's done many, many, many others. And I'm going to pray that he visits you. And then God just confirms that word. Miracles and power happen on the edge of advancing the kingdom of God. They do not happen in this comfort zone. The power is met. Proximity equals power. If you want to see power, you got to go out into the battle.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.